The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program. WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network.
Hello, 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 everybody. Happy Wednesday. This is Tiffany, your co-host, right on Real Live Real Estate Investing. And today we're diving into why 2026 is shaping up to be one of the most interesting note investing years we've seen in a decade. And I'm here in studio with the wonderful guest. It is none other than Donna Bauer herself, the original note buyer. I'm super excited. I hope you can tell by my voice. Before we jump in, a few things. I'd like to remind you guys, this is a live show, so I'm counting on your participation. Yes, we have a text line. That number is 513-432-4961. And of course, you can call in. That number is 1-877-772-9658. And for you lingerers out there that are still at work, there is a email address, vinaradio@gmail.com. So I'm going to get to it in just a few minutes, but a couple of announcements for our Cincinnati area investors. So this coming Thursday, or I should say next Thursday, May the 7th, let me get my calendar right in my head. Cincinnati Real Estate Investors Association of Greater Cincinnati is hosting their Tri-State Real Estate Investor Expo. Dozens of investor-friendly vendors will be there along with local investors. And guess what, guys? It's free, $99. You can grab your ticket at Cincinnati REIA. That's Cincinnati REIA.com. And for those of you who are vendors in our tri-state area, if you've got a business that serves investors, wholesalers, rehabbers, small business, head out to Cincinnati REIA and click the vendor tab and you'll be able to grab a spot before they're gone. I'm going to be there and I'm hoping to see you guys there. So my special guest, Donna Bauer, the original note investor. Hi, Donna. How are you? She's in studio with me. I'm so geeked. How you doing
Hello,
today?
Hello, Tiffany. It's good to be here.
It's good to see you. I was going to do this big introduction. I feel like everybody knows Donna already. So should I see all these great things about your decades of experience and how you've coached people with simple and very complex concepts? Or should we just get right to it? What do you think?
I'm in whatever you want to do.
Look, guys, this is Donna Bauer, the original note buyer, and she, her reputation does precede her. And we're going to talk today about what's going on in the market. And so let's jump in, Donna. So I'm going to start with a couple of questions. And then, of course, guys, you can call us in and we're just going to have some fun with this conversation today. So what I'd like to ask right now is, what are you seeing now in the note market that tells you that 2026 may be different from years in the past?
Well, without a doubt, it's going to be different. And I will say, if you don't know notes, you better learn them quick, because I think in 2026, we are going to see a lot more creative deals. With the higher interest rates and tighter lending, if people want to sell their houses, the best way to get that done quickly at a nice price is with seller financing. So that's going to create a lot more seller financing and a lot more opportunity to structure deals to help people get their properties sold.
That totally makes sense. So guys, we're setting up the market for you so you know what's going to happen here over the next year or so. So I'm hearing seller financing is a big thing. And a lot of investors, Donna, are hearing slowing sales and possible recession, and we assume trouble. So why might note investors hear opportunity instead?
Well, just like I said before, because things have slowed down, it's not like it was a couple years ago when you know, the market was flooded with opportunities to buy. And so with that in mind, when I will tell you this, that every time that the market has been rough, those are the times when I have made the most money. And I've been doing this for over three decades.
Yeah. I understand. And I was on a panel with Donna, you guys, and we were trying to duke it out over whose strategy was the best. And then every time she said that, and then she was like, and then those tenants and toilets, and she bought the thing back there. And that was, I was like, I might need to think about what's going on with this note. So,
but there is something else, Tiffany,
okay,
if I could add.
Sure.
So when you invest in notes, it really doesn't matter what the market does.
Okay.
If you have bought a note, the market could go up and the market could go down. But the thing is that if you properly evaluate the note, you will have plenty of equity to cover it. And you build in your profit. When you buy a discounted note, you're building your profit in up front.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're not depending on the market to appreciate in order to make money. So it's a completely different frame of mind, a different mindset that you use when you're investing in notes.
Okay, so then right now we're talking about alleviating some of the risk, and but the market is shifting. So is there a special kind of note that you buy in a changing market, or does it really not matter? It's just the evaluation of it. I want to be clear.
It's not that it's a special kind. I would say this, in a market like this, if I were buying right now, I would be extra careful to buy at a good loan to value. I want to make sure that there's plenty of equity in the property. And I don't mean, oh, they gave me $20,000 off because I put in a new kitchen. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about hard equity where they put cash down, or they've been making payments on the note for a period of time, and they've paid the note down and built up equity that way. Now, when you buy a note, if you use my process to evaluate notes, then your note should be safe for any market. Because most people will use an 80% loan to value. What does that mean? It means that if the property's worth $100,000, they don't want to have a note that's more than $80,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that means if they get the property back, the market, the price of that property could drop by $20,000. And if they had to foreclose and get the property back, they're still covered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But in a market like today, I might want to go down to 75% loan to value just to add a little extra equity in there to make my note safer when I buy it.
And that totally makes sense to me. So my brain is thinking bank type, non-performing versus performing notes. I heard you say earlier about more equity. Does it matter if they've paid down and then they get in a little bit of financial trouble if it's a performing note or a non-performing note, or do you just prefer one over the other?
Well, I have done both. I have done my share of both. And I personally prefer the performing notes. And the reason is I do not like the headaches of owning a non-performing note. Now, if I have a performing note and a person has a hiccup, they've lost their job, they're changing a job or whatever, then absolutely I am going to step in and work with them and help them to save their house and me to save my deal.
Of course.
Okay. So that is a given. Now, on a non-performing note, I'm buying that at a steep discount. And so I have plenty of room. I should have, if I bought it correctly,
right.
I should have plenty of room to work with that seller or the borrower if they run into trouble.
Mm-hmm, if there's a hiccup of some sort. So in that particular case, then the LTV might even be less than the 75% if you buy
it
severely.
Oh, if I'm buying a non-performing note, it might be 40 cents.
40?
On the dollar.
I
thought you were talking about price I paid. If you are buying a non-performing note, it can be over-financed.
Okay.
You could have a $200,000 note, non-performing note secured by a $100,000 property, but if you buy that note for $40,000, $50,000, whatever, it doesn't matter because you have created the equity by paying less for it.
Wow. Did you catch that, guys? There was a gem right there, and we haven't even got to the good part. I hope you wrote that down. Donna Bauer is in the studio with me, and she's dropping diamonds today already, guys. So I'm trying to tell you what's going on. So let's just ask a question that I'm probably sure that everybody has angst about, and it's about common mistakes that happen. So what mistakes do newer note buyers make when the market gets uncertain?
I think that they get excited. They fall in love with deals that aren't deals. They try to make deals work like they would if it was a regular market, and that doesn't work anymore. I think many of them are limited, that they have the same few strategies that they use. And in a market like this, you need to have a whole toolbox full of various strategies that you can apply depending on the circumstances.
And guys, we're still talking about notes. And funny, and Donna's saying that there's more than one way to skin a cat here. And I'm sure that I think, Donna, you're going to be speaking to us, I think, all day in a symposium. Isn't that May 9th that's coming up? And you're going to teach note buyer thrival. I think we made a word up right there. But you're going to be talking about all these different strategies, because the next question that I was going to ask you leads in to what you were talking about with that creative note buying type thing. And it people have money sitting in places. Me, 401k, maybe, you know, I'm a Uber saver because my grandparents taught me that way. And so maybe I've got this money hidden over here or sitting over here, and I don't know what the heck to do with it. So do I decide to buy rentals or buy notes or create notes maybe?
Exactly. You can do any of it. And that's the beauty of using notes. There's so many different avenues that you can take. Actually buy a note and hold it if you have cash, okay? Mm-hmm. If you don't have cash, you could flip a note and make money with it, okay? If you don't have a note, then you could find somebody that has they're having trouble selling their house, and you come up with a solution. And believe me, there's all kinds of different creative things you can do with notes. And you create... you're basically a deal architect.
Okay,
you are
going to create a deal
that fits their solution, okay? You know, that is a solution for them. And so by doing that, but there is something I need to caution about. You cannot go around and advertise yourself as someone to help people sell their house.
Yeah.
Unless you're an attorney or a realtor.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
But if you structure the deal where you are the principal in the transaction. For example, will you sell me your house, and I'll carry back, and you carry back a note, okay? And so I owe you money.
Yes.
Okay? Excuse me, I said that the opposite way.
But
I said the opposite way.
We're pointing to each other. We're in studio doing this, guys, but it's okay. I'm picking up what you're saying. Go ahead.
But I can sell the note to another investor, okay? If I sell a note to another investor, I was the principal in the beginning of the transaction, okay? And I could sell the note to another investor, and then I don't need a license to do that because I'm a principal in the transaction.
Okay, so I'm wrapping my mind around that between flipping notes and deal architect and the principal. So I don't want you guys to go away. My station host is telling me that we have to take a break, but we're going to come right back to that because I need to make sure that I'm clear. Don't touch the dial. Guys, we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Tiffany and Donna, Real Live Real Estate Investing. And today we are talking about all things notes. I don't know how else to put it, because Donna just came up with a term that I love, the deal architecture. And we were talking about buying rentals, buying notes, creating notes, flipping notes. And Donna, I know that you've been teaching note creation for years, and suddenly everybody's talking about it. So you were walking us through a scenario where somebody was trying to sell their house and they couldn't, was having trouble. And you were talking about how creating that note would work. So can you tell us a little bit more about that? It was a really good strategy.
Okay. There's all kinds of ways that you could do this. One is you could buy the house and the seller carries back a note. So you now owe that seller the money. Okay. If they are not in a hurry for their money, you know, you've got a 20-year note, 30-year note, whatever, and they're happy with having, because a lot of people are, because they've got a nice, secure investment, and they're making a good amount, you know, good interest rate. You could turn around and sell the house to someone else. You could fix it up. You could sell it to somebody else for more money and a higher interest rate. And then you have collected the spread on the interest rate and the spread on the sale. Okay? And in that case, the original note, the seller carry back that the original seller gave to you or held for you, in that case, that stays in place. And the reason it's easy to talk people into doing that is because you explain to them a note is a negotiable instrument. So, like, if somebody says, well, I don't know if I want to wait 20 years to collect my money.
Sure.
Well, listen, at any time, you know, if something happens, you know, you get a divorce, you lose your job, whatever, and you need cash, you can sell the note for cash.
Okay, I'm following.
They can call me up and say,
right.
Hey, I took back this note when I sold my house, and I can't wait for these payments anymore. I need to sell it. And I would buy that note from them and cash them out of
the deal. Fantastic.
Okay.
Yes.
So that is one way. Now, I did this. I have a lesson that I did, and I might even do this May 9th. It was an example that I put together on how to make money, no money down. Like, you have no money to start with. How would you do that with a note? And so I'm not saying that you would necessarily put all of this in one deal, because it was very creative every step of the way. But it did work. Okay. So I could buy this house from you.
Okay.
And I owe you the money. You've carried back a note. And what I could do is I could sell at closing, I could sell part of those payments that you're to receive. I could help you to sell them, is the way I should say that. Okay. And you would get some cash. Okay. And I could collect a fee for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would build in profit for myself. So that might be money that I could use to put new carpet in and paint and, you know, whatever. And so then I could fix up the house, and then I could turn around and sell it for more and pay off my other note. Okay. And I can't remember all the nuances I had in this particular example, but it was multiple people selling the note at different stages, and everybody made money on it.
Along the way.
All along the way.
Right, all along the way. So I'm going to skip over to something. Now, that sounds very creative to me. And, of course, you know, I'm going to put my banker hat on. And so bankers are very risk adverse. You know, here we have a theme park. It's called Kings Island. And they have this baby roller coaster. It's called the Scooby-Doo. And then they have this thing that's called the Beast. And it sounds like you just made a deal that was the Beast, right? Okay, so let's talk about how I don't get burned in part of that investment with all the different handoffs. Like,
okay.
What does due diligence look like for you?
Okay.
Or how do you protect yourself?
Okay, so there are four things that I always look at when I buy a note.
Okay.
And this is why when you buy a note, it doesn't matter what the market does after you buy it, because I'm already going to make sure I've got plenty of equity in the property.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look at the property. That's the first thing I look at. So I want to have a reasonable loan to value. If I think it's a risky property, maybe it's run down a little bit, or maybe I think it might be harder to resell if I were to take it back, then I just go to a lower loan to value. Okay? And you can do that by buying just part of the note.
Okay.
which let's table that for just a little bit because I don't want to go down another rabbit hole. But so you can do that. Now I forgot what we were talking about.
We were talking about the five things of the due diligence.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
For LTV was one, or reduced LTV. And guys, when she was looking at me when she said part of the note, my eyes kind of went sideways and glazed over. And I was like, oh my God, we're about to teach a whole nother class. But nope. Okay. So LTV was one.
Okay.
Yep.
And you want to look at the type of the property and the quality of the property.
Okay.
Okay. And then, and I have a cardinal rule. I never buy a note secured by a property that I would not want to own.
Okay.
Because if I don't want to own it, I'm never going to foreclose on
it. Right, the exit strategy, other exit strategy.
The protection is in having your notes secured by a property that you wouldn't hesitate to foreclose, take the property, resell it, and get all your money back.
Okay.
Okay. So I look at the note, the property. I look at the note. I want to know what are the terms of the mm-hmm. note. Do they make sense for what I want to buy? I'm not going to buy. I always look if there's a balloon coming up mm-hmm. within a couple years. I'm saying, hey, how come they want to sell that? They probably think the borrower won't pay off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I want to see if all the terms make sense to me. I look at the pay history on the note. Okay. And that is one of the beauties of buying an existing note. It has a pay history.
That's right.
When you loan somebody money, you don't know
Nothing.
If you're going to get that first payment
That's
or not.
Right. That's right.
You know?
You're right.
But if somebody has paid every month on time for 2 years, chances are they're not going to quit paying now. You know what I mean?
Totally makes sense. I mean, unless it's a catastrophe or
right.
yeah, something diabolical happens and, you know, and then you just could not avoid it.
Then I would fall back on the fact that I can always take the house.
There you go.
And that plays in, you know, I mean, when you look at the borrower, I want to see, is there someone who signed on the dotted line that has which is trickier now, but has a relatively secure job?
Mm-hmm.
which that makes a big difference. And so that's why if you're worried they might lose their job just from downsizing, not because they're
right.
not a good worker or whatever, then just lower your loan to value a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you can do that either by paying less for the note or you can buy part of the note.
Okay, so you said something that interests me there about the exit strategy because you know we're talking about RIA, so we always want to have an alternate exit strategy. So something you want in your portfolio or to sell it. I think about it from a banking perspective, judicial versus non-judicial. So, are there any geographic markets that you like better? Because
it is, it's funny that you say that because honestly, living here in Ohio, mm-hmm. it's judicial.
Yep.
And for the listeners, if you live in a judicial state, you actually have to file a lawsuit and go through the court process mm-hmm. to foreclose. That can vary. I mean, typically 6 months or so. But you know what? In the downturn back in 2010 in Cuyahoga County, it took 3 years
at least,
to get a foreclosure.
At least, right.
You know, but that was extremely unusual, you know. But if you are buying a deed of trust mm-hmm. rather than a mortgage, those, and it varies from state to state, but some of them you can foreclose like in 8 weeks or something like that and have the deed.
Georgia.
So for a lot of people, they only want to buy in deed of trust states.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that I look at more is what are the state laws like?
Okay.
You know, like there are some states that do not allow you to buy notes.
Oh.
Illinois. I would not buy a note I haven't in many years. I used to buy notes in Illinois all the time. But I have not bought in Illinois for a long time. I do not buy in California. Now, just because I don't buy in California doesn't mean that a California investor should not buy
right.
notes.
Right.
They know the laws there. They know the properties. And that's, you know, their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I know nothing about it. And it's so different than other states. I do not want to invest in a California note.
Totally understand that.
Other places would be like New Jersey, New York, Maryland, places like that. You can buy, but you need to use an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you stay, generally speaking, my favorite states are like Texas and Florida. Those are always the top two, even though they're not in the Midwest. It's just because they have so many notes.
And here I thought she was going to say the Midwest.
I thought we were special.
I'm drawing it on the map. You guys can't see me. I got the finger motion going. But yeah, and then she says Florida. I'm like, what?
I was going to say the Midwest.
Yep.
Okay. But Florida and Texas beat us out.
Okay. That's fair. So I think about this for diverse people in the business. And sometimes when people come into the business, they're rehabbers or they're wholesalers. So how could a housing provider or landlord, for those of you out there, I don't want to throw a jargon flag, or a rehabber use notes as an investment or an exit strategy when listings are taking longer to sell? Like, is that a possibility? Because
absolutely,
we're talking about stale properties. You're seeing them on the market. Reduction. They've been there 45 days, then 75 days, and these types of things. And you're talking about this creative thing. So me thinking about it as a housing provider, landlord, I'm thinking, or a flipper, can I use your strategy?
Absolutely. They can simply sell the house, carry back a note. They could collect payments for a period of time and then sell the note, or they could flip the note right away. Depending on the borrower, if the borrower has excellent credit and a mm-hmm. solid job, we will buy at the table. You know,
okay.
when he carries back the note, we mm-hmm. could buy it immediately. Sometimes we want to see at least one payment. But typically, it's better to have, you get more money for the note if it's at least, they have received at least 6 months of payments.
So that would be seasoned.
Yes.
In our terminology.
That's called seasoning.
Seasoning.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So then I don't know if you caught that out there, guys. We're talking about rehabbers or flippers, if you want to call it, or the burst strategy users, actually using this note for an exit strategy so the property doesn't sit there and erode your equity. And Donna's going to be teaching that at her all-day session with us on Note Buyer Thrival. And I think that's going to be next Saturday, coming on May the 9th. And so she's going to tell us more. And we're going to be right back after this. We're going to take a break. They're signaling to us. I don't want to leave you guys, but don't go away and come right back to us, and we'll have more for you when you come back. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Tiffany, your co-host, subbing for the goddess herself, Vina, who is all things Creative Summit right now. She's getting ready. And I have with me very special Donna Bauer, the original note buyer. And I want to encourage you guys to give us a call. This is live, and so don't miss your opportunity to talk with her in person today before she does her Saturday symposium on May the 9th. Again, that number is 1-877-772-9658. And before we take the call that just lit up on the screen, I want to go back to risk. I know there's some red flags out there, and I again, wearing my banker's hat in here. You guys can't see it, but it's a virtual hat. And I know there's some warning signs and stuff and red flags. Maybe.
I have a great story for you today.
Okay.
This just happened last week.
Oh.
So I had one of my students who was thinking of buying a note that I had. And she called me back up and she said, Donna, I talked to my financial advisor and he thinks this is too risky. I said, did you explain that it was secured by real estate at a 40% loan to value? Yes, but he thinks it's very risky to be buying a property. I said, how long have you had your money invested with him? And it was something like 12 months or something. I can't remember the exact time, but it was a long time. And I said, how much money have you made with him? Well, I haven't done real well with him.
Oh.
I'm going, oh yeah, and he's going to tell
great
me.
Great advice, right.
You know, I am offering her a note that she can make 11% on at a 40% loan to value.
Secured by real estate.
Secured by real estate.
Right. Don't forget that
if,
part.
If they don't, she's going to get a payment. And if they don't, she can foreclose
right.
and take back the the house. And I said to her, I said, well, let me ask you something. If he doesn't produce the profit that he said, what happens then? What do you get? And she says, well, nothing.
Shake your hand and...
I said, which would you rather have?
The real estate. I'll take the note all day. 40%. It's like a 40% for the note right here. So are you ready for a call?
I think we've got one that popped up on the...
Hey, yes. Ann, are you out there? Ann?
Yes.
Can you hear? Hi. Thank you so much for calling in today. What's your question?
Well, my question is, and I hope when I'm phrasing this the right way, how do you go about maybe finding sellers? Because I know her statement was that she mostly gets notes through seller financing. So would this be something that you would not go to your regular market, you know, like a real estate agent or properties on the market? How would you actually go about finding?
And it depends on if you're talking about finding note sellers who have already carried back a note and that want to flip the note. That is one technique. Or if you are talking about being the deal architect and finding people that want to sell their house, a good place to find those is expired listings.
Okay.
Because clearly they had trouble selling it. That's why the listing expired. So that's a real good place to find it.
But would that be a listing that you would have to purchase?
No. You just go to expired listings. Tiffany,
you can find those on Realtor.com. You can, and if you're a member of RIA, there's actually friendly investors that would be happy to give you that list. But you know when they're going to expire, they were there before. And some of those you can buy a list, and some of them you can just actually query for those lists. Now, here's the beautiful thing about AI, and we won't go down a rabbit hole about that. But if you're a user of ChatGPT, Copilot, Claude, you might ask for a certain geographical area and say, you know, give me the expired listings in the past week in this particular zip code, and it's going to actually pull back that source for you. So AI has made it really easy for us to do that these days. And then, of course, the rest of the due diligence you would have to do on your own.
Wow.
Is that helpful?
Valuable information right there. Yes, that was very
valuable. And did we answer your question? Was that what you were looking for, of like how somebody brand new would safely get started in notes?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, expired listings.
And I also think, Ann, I have to add this. That is the easy way to find them, but I think that ultimately over the years, networking
absolutely
is by far your best source of leads. Like, get involved I see you are from Cincinnati. If you're not already involved in the Cincinnati RIA group, definitely be a part of that. Come to the expo next week.
That
would be a great place to network with people. And because that's where you find the deals that nobody else finds. You hear somebody talking about this lady they just met. She's all upset because she can't sell her house. And nobody else knows that. This is, you know, you're getting it like, well, secondhand. But you can get really good deals by networking. And once people find out that you're interested in notes, you get a lot of referrals. And some people will keep referring business to you over and over again. It's not a one-time thing.
Well, Tiffany, I'm going to use your word. She's dropped some gems.
She really did. It really has been action-packed. If anybody is listening, they should have their pen ready to go, because you should see my notes. I've written all over the place. So I'm very glad that you caught in, and we hope that we answered your question. And if you're not a member, like Donna said, it is free. We hope to see you next week at the expo, and I'll be there. If you come, just ask for me.
Okay,
and say hello.
Can you tell me what time does that expo start?
Yes, ma'am. People will convene about 5:30, and it goes on until about 8:30, 9:00 on next Thursday.
Okay.
All righty.
We
appreciate your calling. Thank you so very much.
How can I get information on where it is?
Yes, ma'am. Go to the website is CincinnatiREIA.com.
Okay. I will do that. And
fantastic.
And I hope to see both of you ladies there.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Sure thing. So we were talking about what a newbie would do, and we've talked about some experience type of techniques. If someone wants to thrive in notes over the next 12 months, what should they start doing immediately?
If they're wanting to start buying notes?
Mm-hmm. This is the strategy. I'm going to pick this for 2026. I'm going to abandon what I'm doing, and I'm going in 10 toes down with Donna, all things notes. What was the first thing I need to do?
Well, the first thing you need to do is get educated.
There it is.
I mean, you got to know what you're doing.
Only a little bit,
the
right?
The first thing you should do is sign up for my all-day Saturday, May 9th. Go to CincinnatiRhea.com. That, honestly, Tiffany, that is going to be a really exciting day. I'm particularly excited about it because I have been very busy. I'm writing a whole new presentation.
Wow.
I mean, totally different than anything I have given before. It is designed for creating notes. It's designed for this market. And so that I'm going to teach that in the morning. And then in the afternoon, I'm going to teach you how to create your notes in the morning, be the deal architect, or in the afternoon, how to flip other people's notes.
Wow.
So I'm real excited. So that would be a good place to start. And then I generally recommend that you start by flipping other people's notes. And the reason I do that is virtually risk-free.
Mm-hmm.
If you follow my procedure, you're not taking any risk. You're using other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
You don't buy the note until you're ready to sell it. You're going to use your investor's money. It's like wholesaling a house, okay? And if you start with flipping notes, it allows you to learn the terms, learn the process, and get familiar with the notes before you start creating your own.
So we know that we're going to come on Saturday. I've only ever seen you at the OREA National Summit in October, November, but I'm excited to be at your class because I want to understand the strategy and how to pair it, especially for 2026. I think it's going to be a great thing. Now, I am a avid looker at what people are doing in the environment. And so I don't want to go too far down a rabbit hole, but I do want to talk about what I'm hearing in the note investing space.
Okay.
Just a little bit. So I'll just run down the list, and then you tell me where you think you want to chime in.
Okay.
So I'm hearing about a rise in hybrid notes. I'm hearing about scratch and dents because that's coming back. Now, that's an old terminology. I'm telling on myself when I say scratch and dent. That used to be like the furniture thing, the scratch and dent. You go Swallens. If you're from here, they had scratch and dent. Institutional note sell-offs, second lien opportunities. Any of those you think?
I mean, any of those are good. The scratch and dent. So most of my investors, they want a very pristine note.
Mm-hmm.
They do not want a late payment.
Okay.
But now I think the scratch and dent is a pretty good idea because people are having more difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
So what would happen is you would be buying a note where maybe the pay history is not perfect, but it's not real bad. They're most likely not more than 30 days late. They just might have been late, you know, a couple times, but it's not in default.
Okay. So in the banking industry, we would call those near prime, not subprime, but near prime. A little peach fuzz on it, a little hair on the deal. So it really resonated with me because if you're not scared of dealing with that, then I think that might be a great opportunity. I'm hearing a little bit about it in the industry.
Well, the good thing about it is when you buy those, you're buying at a higher rate of return.
Mm-hmm.
You pay less for them because they're not perfect. And by paying less, your rate of return goes up. So you can get a higher rate of return than typically you would get if you're willing to work with people. Like most of my investors, they just want to check their IRA once a month and see if the payment was there and check it off and move on, you know, to the next one. But if you don't mind working with people and giving them a chance to get caught up and, you know, keeping on track, you can make a higher rate of return on the scratch and dents.
Okay. And the other one that I thought was pretty unique before I'll ask you whatever you want to add into this conversation today, is institutional note sell-offs and this build-to-rent developers, because we're seeing a lot of properties that are new where people, they're just sitting there. Like, do you think that's an opportunity for, and I don't know, that's just a wild swag for me.
They're build to rent, and they're offering a note, then that's not build to rent, that's build to sell.
Yeah, but I think they're building them to rent, but they can't rent.
And so they're changing their program,
yes,
and
ma'am,
using seller financing and selling that way. Here's my concern about this.
Okay.
I would need to know more about that.
Okay.
And the reason is because they're building the houses with the intent to sell them to a tenant buyer, that would fall under Dodd-Frank.
And that's the reason I asked that, because I'm here. You know, you hear a lot of stuff on YouTube, University, TikTok, those types of things. And so that's why that was a red flag one to me. So I was like, let me talk about this for a second, guys out there. Everything that glitter is not gold.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean you can't buy it. It means that you would have to have a licensed mortgage loan originator underwrite the transaction. And you just pay a fee for it. And if they have time, or if there's a big enough spread and they can, the seller would pay for that, then it can be worth it. But what I have found is typically when you're working with these type of people, they want top dollar for it. Now, on the other hand, they might be desperate enough that they're willing to take less now. So all you can do is check it out and see.
Okay.
Okay. You also asked about the institutional sell-off. So what I have found over the years, and it could be different, I don't know, but generally speaking, the institutions are not, they're not apt to sell anything other than the non-performing, because they have a market where they can sell it to hedge funds and stuff that really focus on that. And so for a private investor, one person to get into that market might be difficult. What you can get into easily, and I highly recommend, is if you're wanting to buy non-performing notes, by all means, call up the head of the foreclosure department, or if it's a small community bank and you know a vice president or somebody, if you can get in the door, then a lot of times you can buy one, two, three notes that are non-performing. But typically, I have not had good luck buying the middle of the road or the performing notes, because they sell them off in pools.
Right, in the bulk. So we're coming up at the end of our show, and we don't have any other people on the line. So I wanted to have a quick thought about what people can expect during the run of day of your show, and then we can maybe close it out with something that everybody is talking about, which is AI. Yeah, because everybody's talking about AI this, AI that, AI everything, and how that plays into notes. But I want for you to give us a little synopsis of, you said what you were doing in the morning and the evening. I'd like for you to repeat that to those listeners that may have come in a little late, and then we can give some more information about your class next Saturday.
Okay. In the morning, I'm planning on teaching how to create notes. And I'm going to start with the foundational information, and that is how to evaluate a note. Now, that you will use whether you are buying an existing note, whether you're creating a new note, whether you are lending money. I mean, that is just foundational to note buying, period. And so that's one thing that I'll start out with. And then I will show you various strategies that you can use to create notes. As a deal architect, you know, or if you are already a rehab or a landlord or a wholesaler that wants to sell notes. And we will probably even touch on some private lending. So that will be for the morning. And then for the afternoon, I'm going to teach you how you can flip other people's notes, seller carryback notes. And that's for the newbie that has no, this is where I would start. If you've never done a note before, I would start by flipping seller carryback notes, and that's what I'll be covering in the afternoon. So for the whole day, you should get a pretty good handle on.
It's going to be end-to-end education, and there's time in there, guys. Donna's not just chatting with you or teaching at you the whole day. There's going to be a Q&A session, and there are people that will be very active that will be asking some very robust questions. And again, that's going to be next Saturday. Donna Bauer, the original note buyer, and you can find more information about that at CincinnatiRIA.com. And so last, in our last minute, I'd just like to close out with this AI thing, because I did mention it for her, that Anne that called in, being able to get a list. But do you have any thoughts about how it integrates with your notes or evaluate? A lot of people lean on that.
Okay. I will tell you that I love AI and I use it a lot. However, it really scares me that people will rely on AI. I will tell you, I was going to set up this program where it would do all my calculations for me. And I asked it, and it came back with the, I said, what's the rate of return on this? It was 2 points off.
That's huge.
Okay, that's AI.
That's huge.
I'm afraid that people will ask AI things, and it sounds great.
Yep, tells
unless
you
know
that's
that it's not right.
Right, and you heard it here from Donna. She jumped up, dropped a bunch of gems today, and I want to thank her for actually coming in the studio with me to make this a great introduction to Notes. We hope to see you guys next Saturday. We hope to see you Thursday at the actual real estate Expo, and we appreciate you listening in with us. Thank you very much, and happy investing.